Two very interesting passages in today's lectionary. And I would like to start with the Timothy passage, one that is familiar to most of us. Be content with what you have. Fight the good fight. Keep the commandment. Pursue righteousness. All things that we know in our mind are right and pleasing in God's eyes. It seems easy, doesn't it? Yes, we've been given some great things, especially as a church. We have an amazing building that's in pretty good shape. It's in a great part of town. We have a good air conditioner. Maybe too good some days. We have a beautiful sanctuary. We do our best to take good care of it. That's being a good steward of what we've been given. When does it go from being a good steward to caring too much and becoming idolatry? Where is that line? It seems like that line's different for each one of us. But it seems like there's a pretty distinct line from when it goes from being taking good care to caring too much. It seems like such a leap for a church to go from being a growing, caring, worshiping, Christ-centered church to an idolatrous church. It seems like kind of a big leap, doesn't it? But is it really? In the 30s, churches in Germany began to slip a slippery slope. Churches being connected to the Third Reich and supporting their country, their Germany, which then went from supporting their Germany to supporting a pure race, which then easily slipped into the extermination of Jews. We saw churches in the 50s who became adamant, even violent, when it came to keeping people out of their churches. Well, I'm not saying that the individuals inside these churches were evil, but they obviously had fallen victim to following the ways of the world as opposed to following the examples that were given by Christ. Oftentimes, it's so easy to convince ourselves that what's going on around in the world is how we need to be acting because everyone else is doing it. We find a bit of the same thing happening with Jeremiah in this passage. Much has been going on in Judah up to this point. Jeremiah is now being held under royal guard. The army of the king of Babylon is coming down hard on Jerusalem, and King Zedekiah has arrested Jeremiah for prophesying the fall of Jerusalem and proclaiming to the king that his army should just lay down their weapons and surrender. He is considered a traitor. So basically, we have Jeremiah. He's being held in prison as a traitor. Jerusalem is about to fall, and Jeremiah knows what he has to do. Jeremiah knows that his future is not looking really good. Buying land in the midst of Jerusalem? Does it sound like a good idea to you? I know that there's this whole idea of buying low and selling high, but I'm guessing there couldn't be a lower time to buy land in Jerusalem. It just isn't the real estate dream you hope of. And on top of that, Jeremiah's in prison. He's either going to be executed, or the whole town is going to fall, neither one of which looks like it's a good time to buy a new place in town. Now we get here detailed descriptions of this transaction, blow by blow details of the weighing of the silver and the transaction. What is that all about? Jeremiah has told the people that there's a new covenant underway. The Mosaic covenant that the nation has been operating under is going away. And that means the people of Israel are no longer identified by where they live. They're no longer identified by the practices that have bound them together or the fact that God's law is part of their history. They join together now as a community to worship God, to recommit themselves to God. So while things may be changing, God hasn't abandoned them. So Jeremiah purchasing this land, land that probably makes no sense to anyone else whatsoever, but he is buying that land to show that he has faith in the future. He says, I know that Yahweh and Yahweh's people and this land will thrive again. While all this is very inspiring and really very much speaks to us today, I must tell you one of the things that fascinates me in this story is someone that we don't hear a lot about as a biblical character, and that is Baruch. We don't hear that name much, do we? It's not a name that we name our children after. We hear Jeremiah. We hear Timothy, our New Testament scripture today. But we don't hear that name, Baruch. But Baruch was basically, he was basically Jeremiah's, I guess the way we say it today, is administrative assistant. But you know, there's no story here without Baruch. Yet most of us never really allow ourselves to even register him as a person. But without Baruch, none of this could have happened. I know most of you know this, but things would probably not get done very well around this place if it weren't for Kelly. She has our office running like a well-oiled machine. A couple of weeks ago, she was on vacation, and Kevin and I pulled our hair out trying to get the weavings and the bulletin done. I never knew how difficult it was, but Kelly gets it done every week. Baruch was Jeremiah's Kelly. It was Baruch's job to be the keeper of the story. Baruch was possibly going to be the one that could keep the story alive and going. It was a big responsibility to be the witness to God's work. I'm guessing that Baruch might be thinking that Jeremiah had gone and lost it. But he didn't respond to that. He didn't say, you're going to buy what? You want me to do what? You want me to go where? You want me to put it where? What sense does any of this make? But that wasn't what Baruch did. He took what Jeremiah gave him, and he followed the proper protocol, and he took those deeds, and he placed them in an earthen jar. I love the fact that just a few weeks ago, we had the scripture where Jeremiah talked about the importance of the potter and the vessel that the potter made. That the vessel importance is determined by what it can hold. And we see here that Barak is charged with holding something of extreme importance, the hope of the future. And so Barak is called upon to be trustworthy, not only in following the details of the law, but also in selecting a secure way for that document to be maintained. An earthen jar that those documents could be sealed in and protected for a long time to come. Barak becomes part of the prophetic act and becomes a real symbol of the prophetic hope of Jerusalem. The creation of that earthenware jar is not for the sake of a beautiful jar. It was created for what it holds. It was a trustee. Just like Barak, we have been created not for our own personal sake. We've been created to be trustees of a promise, keepers of a future, a way for those that come after us to know and to see the hope of the future. Sometimes I feel like we think we're not great children of God, that we're not called unless we are great preachers of thousands, or unless we are the Martin Luther King Juniors of the world. If we don't go to impoverished lands and care for the sick and dying, then we're not really called. But like the old Oak Ridge Boy song says, nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the lead singer in the band. Barak was the rhythm guitar player. I don't know if he really knew that he was. Maybe he did and he was content with that. Maybe he, like so many of us, found himself wishing that he could do more. But God used him because he was willing to be used. Sometimes we have to be willing to be the rhythm guitar player and not the lead singer in the band. Yes, the times looked very bleak. It looked like their world was coming to an end. But Jeremiah and Barak and even Hanamel, Jeremiah's cousin who came to him offering him the land for sale, all of them saw hope during very difficult times. And their actions showed hope to all of those around them. Most of you know the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran pastor who worked tirelessly to stop Hitler in the early 40s. He was a brilliant author, wrote amazing letters from prison. He was arrested and eventually executed by the Nazis in 1945. But just prior to his arrest, he wrote these words: "There remains for us only the very narrow way, often extremely difficult to find, of living every day as if it were our last, and yet living in faith and responsibility as though there were to be a great future. It's not easy to be brave and keep that spirit alive, but it is imperative." Like Jeremiah, Bonhoeffer knew the importance of looking towards the future. Even when we have no idea what the future can hold, living each day to its fullest as though it was our last, but living with great hope of the future. We each brought in our own many ways, we each hold that very key to hope continuing, to hope growing, to hope living, and to hope spreading. Yesterday we gathered here, many of us, with our pets, some with pictures of our pets. And we gathered to bless the animals, but also just to praise God and to thank God for this glorious earth that we were given as a home. We have a responsibility. We often want to sit back and think, well, God created all of this for me, so I can just take and use and not take care of it. But we have a responsibility. God gave us this amazing home. We need to take care of it. God gave us all the resources that we need. We need to be happy with them. What's the Sheryl Crow song? It's not having what you want. It's wanting what you've got. We have everything we need if we just open our eyes and see it. God gave us wonderful people to share this world with. We need to embrace them, love them, grow with them, reach out to them, and allow them to reach out to us. Live life to its fullest. Live it with gusto, knowing that God has given beyond our wildest imagination, and our future is secure. Amen and amen.